But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
And we are back.
Boom!
We shouldn't have left you.
Shouldn't have left you.
We shouldn't have left you.
Who shouldn't we have left? Them.
Them.
Without something dope to step to.
Cousins of the Cage.
Cousins of the Cage.
Also,
we are
cage cousins.
Back. Not without a great deal of resistance. We are going to do the actual, this will be the second time we've tried this podcast, the UFC 249, which is now Tony Ferguson versus Justin Gaethje. How do we get here? How do we get here? If you didn't know, to the thousands of all you Cage Cousins out there who support us, we have been in lockdown quarantine now for 60 days. I don't know. A little bit of science. Do you know why they call it COVID-19?
Tell me.
Because that's exactly the amount of pounds that I've gained by not being able to work out in my gym since I've gone into lockdown.
I ain't buying that. Get out of here. I'm flat out not buying it.
It's been rough.
You hear me?
I had to make a lot of compromises for the sake of not dying. Black Widow was delayed.
Yeah.
Although I've been reading some reports, my stock reports about Disney, looks like they in trouble, so that may change.
That's not getting made right now, bro.
Speaking of which, Adisa, we're going to do a whole different podcast where I'm going to sit here and watch, start this terrible thing called The Rise of Skywalker over again and watch it with you and point out to you every moment that I detest it. I'm 20 minutes in, and I feel like I should be watching 90 Day Fiancé.
But Deshaun, didn't we have a good time, Deshaun? What the red vines and the popcorn amazing that day? You know,
we'll say goodbye to that because we ain't never going to have that in the theaters again. I mean, I was already, Deshaun, I'll let you know. Every time we went to the Avengers movie, I was
already
on some
social distancing.
Right, straight
they're
gonna up.
They're going to open back up the drive-thrus.
Straight up.
Wow. And I mean, I bring my own popcorn to the theater anyway.
Although my car is not that comfortable. No. Just put it in my house. I'll just have it in my house. I'm cool. We can do a watch party. I'm cool.
I am agreeing with that, but I don't think they are going to agree on it.
Deshaun is super excited that you used agreeance from the times that I told him it wasn't a word. He made me look at it.
Yes. Yes. It's a win in my category.
Yeah, it's been a lot going on. This fight was supposed to be rescheduled on Fight Island, as we discussed in our hip hop report card, and yes, that didn't work. This fight was supposed to happen on a secret location, that didn't work. Now it's gonna come from Jacksonville, Florida, the great city of Jacksonville, Florida, near and dear to my heart as my family is from Florida. I'm very conflicted. I don't really think people should be out at all under COVID conditions. Mm-hmm. However, if we're going to talk about safety, I should pick a new sport. It's not really as safe to kick somebody in their face and then choke them out.
No.
It could be.
Could be. Might be dangerous.
I mean, you know this sport's dangerous when you throw a kick and your leg breaks because the guy is trying to keep himself safe and checks it.
Right. If that's what he was trying to do. I have a question I've got to ask you for all the Cage Cousins. Adisa.
Yes.
As a warm-up for this show, is this the death of jiu-jitsu practice as we know it?
Ooh. Hey, man, that is about to be my next topic on Bishop Chronicles. What a lot of people don't realize about jiu-jitsu right now is there is a lightweight civil war.
Yes, and you know where I was going with this. Yes,
people that are totally about reopening. In fact, there's a gym in Redding, California, that is already open.
Yeah.
And I've seen kids classes happening.
Yep.
I've seen adults training. Yeah. And their thing is, like, they live in Shasta County, this particular school.
Yep.
And they're like, we don't have a lot of cases.
Yep.
And we need to stay alive as a business. So they're doing it. Now, the other thing is jiu-jitsu has been around long enough so that people who hold on, I just got lost. Boom, boom, boom. Reading. That people who are in jiu-jitsu, some of these people that have real jobs, you know, jiu-jitsu is not just for the, you know, neighborhood meathead. They're doctors now.
Right.
Right. So you have people that are doctors that are also black belts.
Right.
Or EMTs. And they're like, you know, some people are like, yo, this is dangerous. It is not cool. It should not be happening. Most of the people who are from the medical field are telling people to do it with extreme caution. I know one guy that I'm connected to on Facebook has been doing classes. I know one guy from 10th Planet got arrested for recording a video during lockdown. There was only four people in the room, but the police went to his school, saw him in there, and arrested him for recording the video. He was basically trying to make a video so he could teach an online class.
Right.
And he wasn't arrested, he was cited.
Right.
Cited. But there's a big ethical problem inside. I think jiu-jitsu is going to be for about 2 years.
Interesting. And then already there's the problem of people buying belts online. I guess it's not called that, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, so basically, I think other people had done it before, but what really kind of tipped the scale was when Gracie University started awarding blue belts and letting people teach with what off video. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff. I mean, like, jiu-jitsu is so much about pressure and feel and knowing exactly where the leverage points are.
Yes.
If this is what the future of jiu-jitsu has to be, then so be it. I'll tell you this right now. If all the jiu-jitsu schools opened up through the state tomorrow, I still wouldn't be on the mat.
No.
For at least a year. At least a year.
My suspicion, my prediction, my ignorant prediction being, what is the term you called it? What do I call myself? It's the before we get a white belt. What would be a zero belt? My prediction is I think that jiu-jitsu is now going to experience its era of cardio kickboxing.
Yeah, it's McDojoing.
McDojoing.
Do you know that term, D?
No.
Okay,
dude, it's the whole thing.
So McDojo is a concept that really was exposed by the first Ultimate Fighting Championship. And the McDojo is these franchises that grew up, that were everywhere in America. And it's the culture that sort of, I think,
Eddie's Taekwondo
and I grew up around, where you could drive and there's a martial arts school once a block, and you come in and your mom pays for it and $49.99, and you've learned three kicks, three punches, and then, you know, it's a franchise and it makes a bunch of money. And then you try that the first time, you know, Bobby gets into his first fight and gets slaughtered.
Bing, bing.
Slaughtered. Okay?
Bing, bing. And then they go, wow, man. And the guy he fought is like, they're like, whoa, you know, Jerry didn't even, he doesn't even do martial arts, bro. And Jerry's like, yeah, dude, I did it all in my heart, bro. I just went inside myself.
And then you find out that your teacher never actually trained with some ancient ascended master in the mountains of you know,
Tibet.
Nepal. Right, right, yes. And actually that he used to be a manager at McDonald's. And then in the 80s, and I'm not trying to be funny about it at all, okay? And then in the 80s, you get this whole trend of a bunch of dudes who are like just kind of using this to date women, right? Yeah. So they're promoting their top students who are girls, and then they're feeling on them, and they have like the little cult.
Lots
in the 90s, you get the whole trend. You start finding out that a lot of these dudes are child molesters.
Yeah, right? Weirdos.
Weirdos. And then by 2000s, there become this sort of mall culture where you see martial arts gyms in the mall.
Yeah.
And these guys are calling themselves, you know, I've won 40,000 street fights. Okay, so then we go back to the very first Ultimate Fighter, where many of these dudes, like, there was a dude literally who called himself a ninja master.
Yeah, he did. He said he did
ninja master. He said, and you look at the promo video, He looks at the camera. He says, most of my techniques I can't use because they'll kill people.
He was hella serious.
He was dead serious. He believed it. But the he got one in that octagon and got torn apart. Elbowed in the nuts for five minutes.
He wasn't lying because motherfuckers like that tend to pull out a gun.
Yeah.
So he wasn't lying when he said most of the moves that I would
actually use. But you know what I'm getting at. That dude had never been in a fight in the dojo, in a competition, or on the
street
life.
He didn't even spar yet.
Right.
You know who really got housed in that first one? Is the karate guy that the world at that time just, I felt bad for this dude. His name was Fred Edish.
Yes, yes.
Fred Edish was beaten about the head and shoulders mercilessly as he laid in a curled ball, just taking shots.
Yes, yes.
And dude, like, there was a website made up for him of mockery, and it was called the Fred Edish School of Fetal Fighting.
Yes.
And they would, like, have the early, like, gifts. You know, gifts were brand new. And he just, some really, really pixelated video of Edish just taking shots to the face.
Right.
And, like, that was the birth of the McDojo exposure.
So, McDojo, there's actually a really good shout out to them. There's a really good Instagram account I suggest both of you guys follow called McDojo, where they kind of grab these woo-exposed fight kind of cultures where people are like, you know, you see 20 guys pushing on this old man, and if he moves the wrong way, they all fall. And they're like, oh, I've been electrified. Okay. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. What's that in the background? The Wudong Shan, also known as Wudong Mountain, where all my martial arts come from. Have I seen grown Chinese men walk around the top of wicker baskets? Yes. Have I seen grown old-ass Chinese men do uproots and launch across the room? Yes. Is that...
Yes?
Yes. Is that 1 in 10? No. Is that 1 in 100? No. Is that 1 in 1,000? Yes. So most of the culture of fighting is not these McDojos. So I think when it comes from, I think to shorten it from our culture, McDojos are schools that promote deadly one-touch techniques that have no fight. There's no competition and there's no sparring. McDojo life. Best example of this, Boss Rutten, former UFC champion, really amazing sort of kickboxer karate guy. He goes into this ninjutsu school and they kind of challenge him and there's like, our techniques are too deadly for you. He says, oh, really? He said, yeah. And they were going to have an exhibition. He said, okay, I'll tell you what, let's do this. He got behind the dude and he put his hands in a half Nelson. And he says, we're going to have two scenarios. You get out of this situation. If you touch my nuts, I'm going to break your neck. Go. How do you think that went?
Yeah.
Right. I couldn't possibly. Right. There's this famous great video I'll show you of this dude. I think it's either Australia or New Zealand. I want to say it's New Zealand. Mm-hmm. Shout out to my beautiful country for destroying the coronavirus. Thank you very much. There's Thank this video. What is these two dudes? And they're kneeling down. One's like this very like, I use my energy. And the other guy's like a Navy SEAL. You guys have probably seen this. And he's like,
oh, yeah.
Where he's like, dude's like, you want me to punch you? He's like, yes, my chi shield will block it. He's like, are you sure? It's going to hurt you, right? And he's like, my chi ball will stop it. And he sits there, and they're both kneeled, and dude just cracks him one time. And dude's like, And he cracks him again. He's like, you sure? Cracks him. He knocks him out cold.
Dude.
That's McDojo.
It was unbelievable.
I'll send you all these videos. That's McDojo. So I think that that's a trend that you see from, to his point, there's these schools that teach a family-oriented kind of cult, right? And they don't actually allow you to test the stuff out because you might find out that your teacher's not actually teaching anything.
Right.
I mean, in my experience, I think really good schools, the teacher wants his students to surpass them.
Right.
And be better.
And
you have to test it.
And I think the other part of it, too, is just that, like, in a lot of these schools, without the sparring, you're getting like 15-year-old black belts.
Right.
For right. real? You got right. a black belt? And you've never, ever competed, ever? Not even in your own sport? Straight against up. People in your own school?
Right.
Like, how do you even know?
But Adisa, this kid broke a wooden block, man.
No. But let's be clear. There is value in breaking boards and things like that. The focus it takes is important. Yeah. The ability to condition your hands and your body to hit somebody with that is important. But that 15-year-old, when he gets into a fight, has a lot of trouble. Sage Northcutt. So, again, when you build that up, it's very similar, and I think the analogy for my two brothers who watch football, okay? You see these all-star quarterbacks that as soon as they leave the college football, they're broken in the NFL because mommy and daddy had all the football camp money for them. So that why when they were in college, when you don't have the same hits and the same whatever, they're a star. They get to the NFL, can't last, right? That's what a lot of it is. So,
true.
So this is a very interesting topic. I can't wait to see this podcast, man. I want to hear it. If you want me on it,
Have on a special guest who is not only a black belt jiu-jitsu instructor, he is also an EMT.
Right. And again, to use that analogy, like cardio kickboxing. Like, you know what 9-round is, Brain?
No.
Okay, you go in there, they're like this gym, they're like the size of my hallway. You go in there, you pay $100 a month, you go in there with the trainer, he show you some moves, you kick a bag, hello, there's probably some Mortal Kombat music playing, like, you do all this, right? If you did that 3 days a week, you're going to lose 20 pounds if you do the diet again. Are you going to learn to fight?
No.
No. It's not for that. It's cardio kickboxing.
Yeah.
So in that analogy, right, from 30 to 40 years of Brazilian-style jiu-jitsu being in the U.S. and being popular, you cannot advance without testing it.
Right.
I want to get a next belt. I got to choke out all the people who are all the white belts in the room. That's how I get my next belt.
Yeah, you got to be dominant.
I got to submit. It's a percentage game, right? It's Overwatch, Deshaun. How do you get up to gold? 90% of the time, people at my same peer level are defeated. Okay. In Sancho, very similar rules. There's an adaptation to deal with that, right? Sanda, it's like if I had a match, if I fought 10 people in the room, do I win the matches?
Right.
It's like basketball. If we play a game of pickup, do I hoop on most dudes on the court? Or am I like the dude nobody wants to pick? So these are the discussions of McDojo. So let's really get into it. Oh, I like that nice Thanos shirt. I like what you did there.
Well done.
Don't worry, he'll be back in the Eternals.
Let me see that poster. Which poster is that?
Yeah. Oh, that's just the generic Marvel one with all the members on it.
Oh, that's not the one I got though. That's the one I got.
So let's get really into it with these early prelims. Starting off, I believe it starts from the bottom up. It's been so long since I did this. I got to tell y'all, I know y'all been part of this WhatsApp group, and I've really found a lot of value in it.
Hella fun.
Man, I woke up the other day, and I saw a countdown. I was like, oh, my God, this is happening. Oh, it's happening, my sport.
Countdown.
Did you watch that countdown, Brain? We're going to talk about that at the main event because our boy is crazy, but I love him. So I believe our first fight is Ryan Spann versus Smiling Sam Alvey.
Oh, man, I had to turn on.
Does that count as a smile?
He's always smiling except when he gets knocked out.
I don't know if that counts as a smile. That looks
like,
yes, he's the bathroom.
Have you guys, out of these early prelims, is there any fights you're interested in? I think Ryan Spann, it's been so long, I'd have to check. I believe Ryan Spann is in my fantasy league.
Yeah.
Although his ridiculous Superman tattoo still bothers me. But yeah.
It's bothering me right now.
Yeah. That's an interesting one because there's a lot of power. I'll tell you the fight that I could care less about. Bryce Mitchell and Charles Rosa.
Right.
Not tripping, huh?
Do you know the story about Bryce Mitchell?
I do not. Break it down.
How he drilled his own nuts off.
No, that was him?
Yeah.
No, are you serious? He was like, he was doing some construction and he had a power drill in his pocket.
He actually drilled his testicles.
Yeah, bro. Yeah, bro.
Pass.
Don't look it up. Don't look it up.
Right. Pass.
Pass.
Hard pass. Pass. I don't, because the comments, anytime something happens, right? Let's say he gets kicked in the nuts. What's going to be said?
Wow.
Right?
Joe Rogan's going to be like, right in the where the package
is. Do you even think Rogan's going to? I don't think Rogan's going to be there.
I doubt Rogan would show up.
I think Rogan would be there.
But I doubt Rogan would show up.
But I thought the announcers were going to be virtual.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, this is why we have the brain.
I might just be coming off the top of my head. I hope
that's
with,
if that's true, that's great. That's great.
Because, I mean, you're not supposed to have 10 in a room. You got to have.
Yeah.
Fight corner, referee.
Well, I mean, they had that Snoop cast. Why can't they do it?
Right. And judges got to be virtual, right?
I categorically just do not enjoy having fights that don't have Joe Rogan screaming.
Right.
He's kind of a big deal.
Him, Dan Hardy, or DC.
That's why I had to go to Monica. I was like, yo, I love Seawolf dearly, but you have to get the sound system worked out. I have to hear my screaming. It's not a fight without.
Yeah, you need that.
And Dominic Cruz is going to be fighting, so he won't be commentating.
Come on, bro. I cannot tell you how excited I am about that. Vicente Luque versus Nico Price is also a monster fight.
That's the one I'm looking forward to on the prelims right
there. What's so interesting to you about this one?
You know, Luque was on a hell of a tear until he ran into Stephen Thompson. And he was looking like he was ready to go into contention. Dude's been, I mean, he came up as a jiu-jitsu guy and he's been knocking fools out. And Nico Price is just like, either he's going to knock somebody out or somebody's going to knock him out. It just seems like somebody's going to get KO'd in this fight.
Well, you know where Vicente Luque is from.
Where's he from?
He's a former Black Zillion and now Combat Club Sanford MMA.
Yep.
So, Nico Price, I thought he's one of their clique too. Did Uncle Dana make them fight against each other?
I don't know. This thing is saying he's Futures MMA. I don't know. Cordero, Florida. But he was with them when they were Black Zillions, right?
Right. I think so. And this is a rematch, by the way.
Oh. I did not realize.
They fought already.
Yep. In the UFC at that, it says Vincente won by Barabo choke. I'm pretty sure that's a Dars. Adisa, can we get confirmation on that?
Which choke, sir?
It says here Barabo choke.
Bravo choke, a Bravo choke. Yeah, Bravo choke is it's kind of like an arm triangle. That's the best way that I can.
Okay.
Yeah, Bravo is kind of like an arm triangle. Yeah. I like it. It's a good one.
Okay. What's the other name for the Dars? I know I've heard people call it Dars something else, too.
Sometimes people call it the Dars. Other times people used to call it the Gator Roll because it was made popular
by his name?
Who was the dude that used to fight in Pride?
Was that Randleman?
Noguera. He did. I think he's one of the first ones to do it in MMA. So he kind of popularized it. So they used to call it the Gator Roll.
Hmm. Okay.
Okay.
But Joe D'Arce was a student of Henzo Gracie, and he would do it a lot, and that's how the Dars name came. So it's not really called Dars. The guy's name is Joe D'Arce.
Wow. Oh, got it.
I know that. It's almost like the Von Flew choke.
What is that? That one that Stone Cold used to jump on people, Lou whatever?
Right, exactly. Exactly. Same spirit.
Got it. Okay. All right. We're learning.
In the building, I try to do what I do.
This is great. I love you, Deshaun, but it may be hard to get us back to the Dragon's Den when this ends. This is too comfortable.
Hey, bro,
chips.
Hey, that's 3-4-5 hours of setup and everything else. Some I don't know.
Twerking in the back.
Have to do it. You know what I mean?
Straight up. Moving on to the actual prelims, I want to talk about the shade that's about to happen here real quick.
Right.
There's a lot of shade about to happen here real quick. Some people that are on the prelims, here's how Dana feels about you.
Oh, tell me.
Here's how Dana feels about you. I need to get an Ice Cube skit for me and Adisa's childhood. Here's how they think about you. Here's how they think about you.
Here's what they think about
you. Here's what they think about you. I was just wondering, since she was out there. Our first fight of the prelims, Uriah Hall versus Jacare Ronaldo Souza.
Wow.
We knew that day we put them in the prelims. These are two people that Dana wants to get rid of.
Oh.
They're not going to climb up.
They knew that was going to be on the prelims? They told us they was going to be on the prelims.
They're not going to climb up. And they won't go away. This fight is pretty obvious to me. If it goes to the ground, Jacare is easily going to eat this man alive. Pause. If Uriah Hall keeps it at range, that spin technique will take a head off. But from what we saw against Derek Brunson, it looks like Jacare Souza has got some kickboxing now. This is going to be a very good fight.
Oh, yeah. He's been knocking people out for a minute now.
Yeah.
Do you think that Jacare has it in him to do it, though?
After what I saw in his last performance?
Yeah.
I don't know. Hermanson, was it?
Hermanson, then Blachowicz.
Was it Blachowicz? Lost both of them. No, Blachowicz was is 205, right? Jan Blachowicz?
Jacare went up.
Did he?
Yep.
Okay.
He went up, and then so both his last fights was 5-round losses to Hermanson and Blachowicz.
Right.
Where Uriah Hall, I think, won his last two, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, and he fought against Shoeface 5 rounds.
Yep. Right. Yep. 3.
And they're sparring partners too.
But before that, who is Bevin Lewis? I don't even know who that is, but he knocked out some kid.
Bevin Lewis is he trains with Yanni Jones. By the way, Cage Cousins, I told you. Shout out to Zay. Shout out to Zay for owning it. For hitting me up and saying, you know, Mr. Sweet, you know, I thought you were a little hard on John Jones. I thought you were a little hard. But then I saw in the middle of a quarantine, this dude is out here shooting a gun, driving around under the influences. And then when the cops pull him over, he says, I need to get home to my kids.
Wow.
I see what you're talking about. I'm going to go back and watch old DC fights. John Jones is not the man I thought he was. Thank you for owning that, Zay. Shout out to you.
Shout out to Young Zay. You.
No right. Shout outs to John Jones. No shots. And when Izzy knocks you out, I have nothing but comments for you. But until that point.
Young Zay has been on the chessboard too. He's been
good.
Young Zay is out there, Brent?
Young Zay has been on chess.com with me.
You know, thugging, huh?
Been doing this.
Oh, I know some dudes in Oakland that say they're looking for some smoke on these boards.
Bruh, all the smoke is welcome, man.
That's what I was like. I was like, okay, Brent. You know what I mean? So I'm going to go on chess.com and set up a little under group. Nah, man.
Set it up, bro. I don't even need to talk to him. I don't even need a phone call, bro. If I get a notification and it says
Did you see his face change on a molecular scale? And he's like, yo, I don't even need to. Like his whole.
I want all the problems.
Let's go.
Who do you think is going to win this fight?
I got Jacare.
Okay,
I'm biased, of course, but
yeah.
I just think he has more tools. Like you said, if it ends up on the ground, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah.
If they stand and trade, Uriah Hall has the advantage, but I still think Jacare.
I feel like he has the clear advantage with the hands, but how is his wrestling? I don't seem to have a sense of frame of
who?
Hall?
Hall.
Or Jacare?
What? Hall has no ground game.
Yeah, Hall has.
He's been in the UFC 10 years and hasn't learned to get on the ground.
That's what I'm saying. I think Hall definitely has a striking advantage overall, but I think Jacare has enough power to stand there with him until it's like, oh, okay, now you're going to the ground.
Forgive me, but didn't Souza win his last fight, if my memory is right, or no? He lost
two five-round decision wars.
Yeah, he lost his last two.
Okay.
To the contenders, yeah. There's also Carla Esparza versus Michelle Waterson. These are two people who keep circling the number three spot. I think this is kind of obvious. I think if Carla takes her down, it's done. And I think Carla has trouble with people who do rangy, quick stuff. I'm going to move past that. What I also think is very interesting is this Alexei Oleinik versus Fabricio Werdum. Where have you guys been? Where have you been, Werdum? Where you been? It's like Mace came back to Harlem.
It's like almost 2 months to the day that he's been.
My man said Mace.
Welcome That's back, hilarious. Mace. We missed you.
No, we didn't.
No, we didn't.
A little bit, though.
Why is this incredible? Both of these guys are terrors on the ground. But I think Werdum has this.
Werdum is uneven to me.
Werdum has a history of choking out wily Russians.
True.
You're not going to say nothing, Brain? You're not going to say nothing?
He's definitely... I think this is the same thing as Jacare and Hall, except opposite. Whereas
yes.
Werdum has striking and jiu-jitsu, Oleinik, yes. jiu-jitsu based overall.
You know what I mean? He's just trying to – Dana's like, I'm cleaning out contracts today. Anyone who showed up to this fight, I'm going to give you a bunch of money, but I don't know if you'll have a job next week.
Right. But we needed – this fight got canceled, and with the comeback, we need to put on like
– Right. Because really, it's about to be a –
The prelims could damn near be a pay-per-view show.
There's about to be 270 million casual fans on Saturday night. Everybody right. going to be on my Facebook timeline. Oh, I would you know, he should have thrown a punch. Oh, really? You know something about MMA all of a sudden.
They're going to be like, "Ooh, what a sports weekend. I got to watch UFC on Michael Saturday Irvin? And then The Last Dance on Sunday."
Did you see Michael Irvin on Dana's Instagram?
No, I heard you talking about it. I couldn't.
He needs to fight Stephen A. Smith for the most ignorant commentators. Like, just, he couldn't even say, he like, Dan was like, when did you become a Ferguson fan? When he fought Rafael Dos Santos.
Not Dos Santos.
Not Dos Santos.
I can't. Final prelim fight. Anthony Showtime Pettis versus Cowboy Donald Cerrone. I can't believe, haven't we seen this fight already?
Yeah, what is Cerrone doing back already?
You gonna run this back? Wait a minute, somebody hasn't rested their leg?
He's getting love for that dive he took.
No, he's not back already.
He didn't take no dive.
No.
He's back already, bro.
He didn't take no dive. Don't do that, Ibiza. He didn't dive. I dislike McGregor as much, if not more, than you.
That's possible.
But he didn't take no dive.
But
I've explained this to you.
I also agree that there was no dive taken, but for him to come out and be like, I wasn't mentally there, I wasn't ready, that's almost in itself. You know, again, Conor McGregor is sometimes overhyped, but the dude is a hell of a fighter. You don't go dope. Into a fight like that not mentally prepared. If that's the
you
case, you never took the fight.
You don't go into combat sports right now and fight every 6 weeks without healing your face. That's
facts.
And here we are, what, maybe not 6 weeks, but 10 weeks later?
Tell me about it. That's it for the prelims. We're going to take a short commercial break, and we'll be right back. I am the Sweet NBA. With my fly ass rage against the cage, against the round zero shirt.
That's fly ass shirt.
We don't have them for you yet, but we will, because we know you need to spend money on important things like groceries.
Yes.
I am also joined by my Brady Brunch co-host, co-founder below me, Brain Damage. My brother from another mother, my old young man homie, Adisa, the Iron Hook Assassin, the God of Grappling, and of course, the Iron Hit. Here he goes. There he goes. I know. Mister, I can't do a push-up without somebody paying somebody to tell me to do it. Shut up.
Look at that tricep.
And Dreamier Productions, our executive producer, Deshaun. Deshaun, when does your album come out?
So, the album is actually out. So,
we'll put that out there in the credits for you guys. Pick up the album. It's so, your album. Yeah. What's it called?
It's called The Stuff That Dreams Are Made Of, 1.0.
Okay.
It's by Dreamer Productions. So look at my name. If you pop it, if you put my name, Dreamer Productions, into Apple Music or Spotify or YouTube or
Deezer
or whatever you listen to all over the world, it's all over the world, 250 plus countries and territories. It's on every store. And I really hope you guys enjoy it. I really hope you guys enjoy it.
All right. We'll be right back. Cage Against the Machine Round Zero has returned. Black. We are a little too light to say we are black.
Who are we?
We are here with the main card. Our first big fight will be in the heavyweight division. Greg, I may or may have not beat up my girlfriend, Hardy, versus Johan de Castro. This is
did he beat her up or not?
What?
Did he beat her up or not?
I don't know. I'm wondering what the court of law has to say. Eli has a very strong opinion about this. He thinks he's a wife beater. I'm just trying to understand how, in this day and time, a big, large black man with tattoos didn't get the whole book and thrown under the jail.
What state?
Texas.
Ooh, damn.
So
last time I knew somebody who did that, he didn't get out for like 15 years.
You're right. I'm saying.
I'm not kidding.
I'm just trying to understand.
Years, bro.
I'm just trying to understand. So, who you got in this one, Brain?
They're throwing Hardy a bone. I mean, Jorgen De Castro 6-0 with nothing but knockouts. So
yeah,
he definitely can crack. But I mean, do we know who this guy is? I mean,
oh, I know who he is. From Suriname. That fool's a savage kickboxer,
yeah?
Bro.
Well, I'm rooting for him, but I have a feeling the UFC's throwing Greg Hardy a bone on this one.
You think so? I think this is Johan. I think they're getting rid of Greg Hardy. I think he's worth more problems than
you think he's bad for the brand?
Oh, I
think
hope
he's
so.
Worth more problems than he brought in.
I definitely don't like the dude. I mean, when you are an accused woman beater, you already have a bad rap. Then he comes in acting like, you know, he's got this big old ego. And then the thing with the asthma pump, dude, come on. Come on. You got winded. You don't get to have an asthma spray to get you unwinded.
Oh, I did forget
hey,
about
can you
that.
Hand me my oxygen
oh, that's
tank?
Right. I did forget about that. He did use the Yoel Romero way out. That's right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Johan. Johan. What about you, Deez?
That's crazy.
Anybody who's accused of beating on a woman, I want to see them lose. So,
you know, a lot of people get accused of things and then things turn around.
And, you know, if he just takes the L on GP, then so be it.
I'm just
saying. But until further notice, I need to see him take that L.
Yeah, I'm just saying, we it's not clear to me that, you know, we live in a place and a time where things are fair.
That's true. I know people get accused of stuff, but usually when there's smoke, there's fire. You at least was doing something. Maybe you didn't hit her. But maybe you was being a little wild, too.
Yeah, I'm not a fan, but I'm also like, I see how people decide things and then start the cancel culture because they just don't like that you're doing something.
I don't want to cancel him.
Right.
I just want him to lose if he's guilty.
Right.
That's all I want.
Okay, fair.
If he's guilty, I want him to lose.
So that's the decent way of saying I'm leaving this in God's hands.
Yes, I do.
I get it. I understand.
Now, this next one is something I'm pumped for, man.
Jeremy Heathen Steven versus Calvin Kattar.
I think
what do we know about Kattar?
I think this is Kattar's coming out party for real, man.
Really? You think Stevens is stepping back?
I mean, he's lost his last four other than the whole no contest with Yair.
But, and then they ran it back, and he lost by decision.
Right. And Qatar, I mean, he's been racking up some nice wins, but nobody would – I mean, you could say Ricardo Lamas, but, like, I don't think Lamas has the resume that Stevens has. And if he can put a win on Stevens, I think he really puts himself up into that top 10. I didn't look at the rankings. I don't know where he's ranked at, but –
Didn't Qatar have a lot of trouble with my guy?
Zabit?
Yep.
Yep, he sure did. But Stevens is a brawler. Zabit's a tactician. You know what I mean?
I thought Stevens did better against Zabit than he did. I don't know. It's interesting because, you know, Stevens has been training a lot with Tony Ferguson.
See, but I got to be honest here. Stevens, I got a little bit of bias against him as well. Unlike Hardy, he's not accused of beating women. But this guy's been in a few brawl balls. Excuse me.
Bar brawls.
Yeah, where he's like beating dudes half to death, and it's like, dude, you're a UFC trained fighter, right?
Yeah, that is always the mark of sadness for me. You know what I mean? I see these guys do that stuff, man. It's ridiculous. Yeah,
he's had a couple of outside the cage incidents that just he leaves a bad taste in my mouth.
I don't know,
I'm rooting against him.
I guess. I like him, but I don't know what your life can be like when you're on the TV. You know what I mean? So who knows? Who knows? Yeah. He's trying to get to the parking lot. Somebody thinks it's cool to put their hand up his wife's skirt.
Well, I don't know what the circumstances was, but you could have just knocked the dude out and left it for there. You didn't have to put him to the point where he damn near died in the hospital. So
true fact, and you never know. So you're going with Qatar.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Adisa, what's your pick?
Going with Qatar as well.
Nice. Okay. I'll be the Stevens liker.
Okay.
Next we have fireworks. Absolutely fireworks. Francis Ngannou, the Black Conan, versus Yajiro Rozenstruik.
Question.
Yeah.
Why are we calling this fireworks?
Blood. Did you see the last time?
Two heavyweights who, when they punch people,
their faces explode.
They don't move.
Didn't Ngannou bore us to death the other time?
Rozenstruik
bored us until the end. Remember, he slipped the dude's lip? Remember, the dude's lip was cut open and dangling, his whole mouth?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That was Rozenstruik versus Overeem. That was Rozenstruik. Right?
Yeah.
And remember what Ngannou did to Overeem?
I don't.
Oh, you didn't? You ever? I'll send you.
You don't remember that one?
Hit him with the uppercut and punched his soul out of his body.
Not his soul.
Literally hit him with a Mortal Kombat uppercut, like get out of here.
Whoa.
These two guys have. Well, I guess Rozenstruik has one decision to his credit, but other than that, and 14 wins for Ngannou and 10 for Rozenstruik, that's the only decision that either one of them's ever won.
Yeah. I think it's going to be
Rozenstruik. These guys finish people. You know what I mean?
I think it's going to be Rozenstruik, even though Ngannou spends a lot of time with Kamaru
Usman. Wow, Blood, you really just going to say that, Blood?
I do.
Okay.
I mean, they both of the culture.
No, Blood, that's not the point, Blood. Like, on a straight MMA whatevs, right? Rozenstruik
is a better kickboxer. Then Ngannou is a boxer.
That's what I'm saying, right. But
so I think that the range, I think he has more weapons. I think Ngannou has punches.
Here's what's going to happen, bro.
I think Rozenstruik has punches, legs, shoulders, elbows, knees.
Okay, but to balance that out, Ngannou does have 4 submissions to his credit.
Submissions, boy. Thank you for the layup. So, as I get this,
I feel like, right, Rozenstruik has more of a striking arsenal, whereas Ngannou's just like that punching power.
He's more of an MMA guy, bro.
If they get knocked down without getting knocked out, then you got to go to the ground with him either.
Who did he submit? Let's go back to his resume.
So here's what we need to remember, though.
Possibly submit him, and then on paper, it looks like
that fight with Rozenstruik's devastating punch over Overeem comes at the final seconds of one of the most lackluster
the UFC.
Heavyweight fights ever, bro. Luke that fight was garbage. Okay? Let's be honest. They were trying to give over him an easy out. He had Rozenstruik on his back, who looked like a crab out the shell on his back, quite frankly. He looked horrible. Like, he looked like, wow, he's in the UFC. They allow you to be in the UFC and act like that on your back? And then when they re-stood him up, Overeem got bloop, and that was it. Overeem got made history of not because he wasn't a better fighter, but because he was being lazy in the last minutes, not really pushing himself, not focused. He gave his opponent an opportunity, and his opponent cut his face wide open. Francis Ngannou is not going to be that fighter when they meet. Francis Ngannou is going to have way more head and body movement. He's going to make Rozenstruik tired. Then he's going to put him down. He's going to slap the shit out of him, and then he's going to tap him. Watch what I say.
Boom, boom, boom.
Sounds good.
Boom,
don't think it's going to happen. Let's be clear. Ngannou's only submission is against Hamilton. Hamilton, guys, okay? Let's be clear. Sounds good. I hope it happens. I'll be entertained. I'll be sitting on my couch hosting this watch party. Did I tell you guys about this? We're going to do a Zoom watch party?
That'd be dope.
Done. Love it.
That'd be dope. I mean, I feel like this is going to be a snoozer because I don't believe in him anymore. But, all right. Let's
go. Yeah. I think he's about to get touched up. I think he's about to catch a leg to the head and go tonight.
Who's catching a leg?
He's Francis. Catching a leg to the head. Francis.
You're out of your mind.
Francis. Your boy Franny. Franny.
You're out of your mind.
Francis is going to sleep. I'm not mad, though. It's a fellow African. I'm not mad. I'm not mad.
That's what I'm saying, blood. Rose I'm not mad. Got it like that. Not against Francis. Look, not against Francis.
The man ain't
Francis.
Look, if Francis. The man ain't couldn't even beat the Black Panther, how can he beat Rozenstruik? It's
fine. Wow.
All right. Moving on to our co-main event of the evening, because I know some shady things are about to be said. We have the current champion, Henry the Messenger Cejudo, versus Dominic the Dominator Cruz. If Dr. J.K. Atkins was here, he'd say, hey, why is he the Dominator? Who has he ever dominated?
Who has he dominated?
Just because they're in not favor. Finishes, he's been dominant in a lot of his fights.
Come on.
I could say the same thing about GSP. I mean, who did he dominate? He dominated everybody.
But his name's not the Dominator. I agree. This is an interesting fight.
His name is Rush, and he was never in a rush to finish. All his stuff was five-round boring lay fest.
He was in a rush to get a double leg.
Well, he wasn't in a rush to go home. He made us all sit there for 25 minutes like this.
Safety first. Did you know both these guys from Arizona?
Ooh, a jab.
Do you know that? Both guys are from Arizona?
No. I hate Arizona. I want them both to lose. Can we get a double knockout just because of Arizona?
Terrible.
I want them to both sprain their – no. Never mind.
Haters.
I'm not putting no sprained ankle jinxes on this fight. Never mind.
Can you stop? Enemy.
You guys are haters.
I was raised on Public Enemy, and now, one of their.
I like Dominic. I like
my that. Favorite. By the time I get to Arizona,
you know what I'm saying?
Boom.
If I was fighting Cejudo, boom. That would be my walkout song. Boom.
What would be your walkout song?
By the time I get to Arizona, if I was fighting Cejudo.
What is by the time I get to Arizona?
A song about how Arizona's racist, and then I beat both of them. I'll actually fight them at the same time, because they're both from Arizona.
See, this is where MMA needs to evolve. They should take a page out of wrestling and book some triple threat matches. Bring back the three-way dance, baby.
No, thank you. I already saw the Batman and Robin versus Spider-Man. That sucked. Thank you very much.
That was hilarious.
No.
Do not tell me that sucked.
That was hilarious.
No, get out of here. That's what takes our sport back 20 years.
I'm about to go watch some MMA night fighting. You seen that?
Yeah, sadly. So we haven't seen Dominic Cruz in the octagon in 4 years.
That's a long time.
December 2016, man.
Peter Yan said, "I thought you were retired."
I thought he was retired. But you know when they was like, yo, we need somebody to fight Cejudo. It ain't finna be Aldo.
I'm glad he picked it. This is interesting. Dominic Cruz, at one time I would have called him the Derrick Rose of MMA. The Derrick Rose, well, that's not true. Yeah, Derrick Rose did come back and have that one game. Did he come, Deshaun, what was that? He had that game where he, like, broke the record for scoring?
Or he tried.
Remember where he was crying?
Yeah, and he was, I don't think it was for scoring, though. I think it was, like, a Chicago record or some other.
Yeah, there's definitely going to be nobody to break the record for scoring.
Got it.
Like Kobe got to 84, and he wasn't even close to Kareem, right? Didn't Kareem score over 100 in one of the games?
Wait, what are we talking about, Wilt?
My bad. I said Wilt.
Wilt Chamberlain,
yeah.
And what are we talking about, basketball or extracurricular?
We could do both, and it still would be the same answer.
Terrible. Keep the balls to yourself, social distancing.
Pause.
So, Dominic Cruz has been very impressive in not only taking – the mantle of learning from the nightmare and really transforming a wrestling style into striking, but also establishing the 135 division in WEC, then fighting through injury and coming back and becoming champion against EPO using TJ Dillashaw. Cejudo really makes me cringe. I really don't like what he does. I really find him and his coach corny.
Weird.
I hate when they like do that goat sound. But I cannot front on that guy after that fight against Marlon Moraes. I cannot, as a fan, front on him. Mm. I also find his coach impressive because he's named Captain Americas, which I think is pretty cool. I'm going to go with Dominic Cruz because I think Cejudo's sleeping on Cruz. I think he...
Oh, you think he thinks he's a G, so he's just going to get caught slipping?
Yeah, I think he's looking past Cruz. He's like, you're a broken old man. I'm here for my money.
Right.
I think Cruz is about – and I know that Cruz's mind is very, very strong. He has maybe the strongest mind in MMA.
Right. And
how about you guys?
He's off the charts.
I think the bad guy wins. I think Cejudo.
Triple C.
The only thing about Cejudo that we do know, no matter how we feel about him, because I have to be honest, I'm not the biggest fan of him. I kind of feel lukewarm about him in general.
Yeah.
I feel like he's kind of overhyped. Like, yes, he's an Olympian, blah, blah, blah. But I'm not seeing him do stuff that I feel like the way that he treats himself, he should be doing.
Yeah.
So, but all that said, he has a hell of a work ethic.
He does. And accomplished.
And just because he's an Olympian, you have to give him a nod for mental toughness and determination. Clearly. So I'm gonna give it to him. But I will tell you this: it may not happen in this fight, but when he goes out, it will be memorable.
Okay.
That's
what it is. Can we go conspiracy theorist 1 second?
Sure.
Yes.
Corona is definitely hurting sales, right? It's definitely hurting numbers, right? We know that bad guys make money.
Yeah.
Right? You know, I'm going for the bad guy on this one. I think Dominic Cruz, I don't even know where they pulled Dominic Cruz from. Like, I don't know.
The announce table.
Like, I don't know why. Like,
because Cejudo has won, but nobody watches his fights. So you got to get somebody with a name.
Right.
So he only wants to fight people with names because he doesn't make any money. Nobody's buying his pay-per-views. Nobody cares. Okay.
But it doesn't seem like there's a tomorrow, next week, next month situation for Cruz, like that's planned out by Dana for this. Like, it just feels like they're putting it together. We need to make money. Like,
right. Let's throw this
The idea is whatever's making money, you like – he's going to say,
You get a car.
I mean, Henry, I don't know. Somebody check his Twitter feed right now. He's probably said something stupid by now to get awareness. Like, I feel like this is where the mentality is. Right. Disney's like, yo, you need to make some money. He's like, yo, all right. Like, let me do what I got to do.
Right.
Right. Oh, so what female do you want me to challenge today?
Oh, God, yeah.
The main event.
Exactly. Now it's our time, your time, our favorite time, for, I'm not going to yell at this, I'm too tired. Be working these 18-hour days, man. I get more done now in quarantine, but whew. The main event of the evening. Black House's own A Snap Ferg, Tony Ferguson, El Cucuy versus.
What does El Cucuy mean again?
The Boogeyman.
The Boogeyman.
Oh. Okay. I like it.
Versus the human highlight reel, Justin Gaethje.
Don't ask him that. He might snap on you in an interview.
Straight up. Hey.
Hey, if that man takes off his shades, watch out.
Hey, hey, he was in there, bro. He's in there sparring with his shades on.
You ask him, what does El Cucuy mean? And he does this.
Right. he don't ever take his glass up. Straight up. Hey, 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 you guys were killing me in that chat. You were killing me. That was, so I watched the countdown, brain. This fool said, doesn't matter what you do, Justin. I'm going to weigh you down like an old paperclip.
That's so weird.
Hey, I still let that paperclip help me on Windows 98.
Bro, I got 20 years of paperclips here. They don't wear down. What are you talking about, Tony? Like, I'm a fan, but what are you? And then this fool.
It's because if you bend them, like, I mess with stuff with my hands. If you bend them in it, then they snap.
And then, oh, is that what he meant? See, I needed a Latino to explain that. And then Justin Gaethje over here talking about, I've done 20 years of wrestling. My nose don't work right. I need those elbows to break my nose. Like, what? He said, Tony's probably going to break my nose and Dana's going to pay for it.
Wow.
How's that thing? That's actually Nita was talking about.
Didn't even mess with fools trash talking abilities. Yeah,
that's what, what's her name was talking about? Angela Hill was talking about. I know people who go take UFC fights just to make the UFC pay for their medical bills.
Right.
That's ill.
We've been talking about that, though, for years.
Yeah. Tony's crazy, though. Tony, I was talking about this with Omar. Tony's crazy. Tony was at the press conference, right? Tony at the press conference. He's sitting there. Habib over here. He's like this. Look at me, Habib. Look at me. Habib on the other side of the room. Dude don't make any sense. But that's why I love him. He's just in a different zone. That's why I love his crazy. That's why I love his crazy. He thinks his elbows make art. So I have no disrespect for Justin Gaethje. I really like Justin Gaethje, actually.
Pretty raw.
And strangely, he has the same manager as Habib. So I think that manager has kept them from fighting for a reason.
MMA has that manager, though.
What?
Ali is just like...
Yeah, he's a third MMA.
Monopolize the market.
Fact. I also like Justin's camp. I'm a big fan of Trevor Whitman, you know, obviously. Rose Namajunas. But my money's on Tony. I think Tony knocks out Justin in the third round.
I think that he'll probably win because he's so mad that he can't fight Habib. He's going to take it out on Justin.
There's going to be a diss to Tony somewhere in here. He's setting up for it.
No, I'm done.
It's a jiu-jitsu match. He's setting up for the point where he talks about why Habib is going to beat Tony.
Look, I'm accepting Allah's decree on that fight. I have no comment until it's locked in and confirmed, which I don't think it'll ever be.
No.
Okay. But I do believe that he will absolutely beat Justin because he's so angry.
Radiation in the water. Really a deadly plague. Tsunamis. Giant locust-sized hornets.
Giant locust.
Don't book this fight. Don't book this fight. God is sitting there like this right here over the button. God is a single black God woman right now. I say it again. I not want this fight to cry about.
Then
God is a single black woman right now.
Straight up. God, what'd you say? I'll come in there and give you something to cry about.
But if that's the case, if the gods do not want this fight to happen, then Gaethje's going to win this fight. Because if Ferguson wins this fight, then you have to rebook Khabib and Tony.
No, you just have the interim.
No, you can win it. It doesn't matter. Look how many times it was supposed to fight.
I'm going
to
give you this, Shannon Sharp.
Happened. Yeah. Right. Nope.
Shannon Sharp. Nope.
Interim.
Interim.
Who's the other interim?
No, he's already been interim before, so he's the interim.
That's why he needs a championship.
It's never going to happen. He's not going to fight Khabib. It's not going to happen.
Then Gaethje wins this fight.
Okay.
And if Gaethje wins this fight, it's because we have seen Tony get rocked before. Nothing serious where he was in danger, but Lando Venata got him. Michael Johnson clipped him, right? Oh, no, was that Michael Johnson that clipped Khabib? Anyways, beyond the point, Gaethje has knockout power. Tony is never scared to get into a firefight.
Not at all. He enjoys it.
But he has more tools to where if he needs – whether Gaethje's a wrestler or not, 10th Planet Jiu-Jitsu is going to negate that, right?
Facts. And on top of which, Tony's a wrestler. He's a collegiate wrestler.
Right. Mm. But the X factor is – he decided to make it a point and be stubborn and make weight for that Khabib fight that never happened.
That was hard.
3 weeks ago. So you cut weight 3 weeks ago, and whether, you know, you pointed out, okay, he just wasn't going to go back up to his natural weight. He was going to keep his diet so that when it's time to cut again at the end of this week,
Brain.
10 pounds,
Brain,
something
you
like
don't
that,
understand.
Rather than the usual 25. You're still, you're doing cutting weight 2 times in 3 weeks. We talked about Cowboy.
You don't understand, Brent.
Fighting this often.
He doesn't eat what you eat. He's the boogeyman. He's El Cucuy.
I'm not saying he eats what I eat, but
he eats fear.
I tell you what, though. Let's think about this,
but
though.
He ain't Frankie Edgar walking around at 155 and cutting no weight.
He eats your house.
I just had an interesting thought. I need your opinions. I'm thinking about the mental stress of this fight on Ferguson, maybe actually making him more vulnerable to a loss than would have been because of the ups and downs, because of the weight cut, right? Because of all of the stress that it's taken to get this far, he might be a little frazzled, dog. Whereas like Justin is on that Eminem level. If you had boom, 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 one shot. Dude, he wins no matter what happens. He makes history in this fight.
I can't believe he did that. He really just did that. And then I looked over this with Justin Gaethje's nose and haircut. Oh, his palms are sweaty. Stomach feeling like ball spaghetti. I hate you.
But I get it. And I wouldn't even say Tony was frazzled off the stress. But the stress does come with heavy is the head that wears the crown. He doesn't even have the crown yet.
Right.
And that's my point.
But he's not stressed out. He's been training in isolation his whole career. Nothing has changed for him.
He's already
in his mind. And his mind ran from him.
Family issues. You know, almost lost his wife and kid. Breaking down
the stairs, tore his leg off.
Jericho breaking the walls of his house down because there's mics in him. That's a lot. That's a lot to have in your mental.
And it looks like I finally
got this dude in my grasp. Oh, the quarantine.
And listen.
Oh, now
Justin
I got to find a replacement.
Oh,
that fight canceled. I'm going to make way anyway. Now it's rescheduled. That's a lot.
Justin has more wins by TKO. Ferguson has more subs. And it looks like he's edging him out on decisions as well.
But you brought
so,
up.
So, I mean. If he slips mentally, I think Justin might be able to catch him slipping. But my theory is that rage is going to win, and that's going to be.
And Adisa, you brought up the best point of all. Justin right now is at a win-win. If he loses, he still wins. Tony is at a lose-lose because you win, you were supposed to win. You lose. What the hell were you thinking taking this fight when you could have said, you know what, put somebody else in for the interim. I'm going to wait for Khabib in December.
And there's also this. If he loses to Justin, his date with Khabib is triple.
They're gonna use it. Right. They're going to use it against him. Right.
Yep. And be like, ah, we just don't think you're good enough. You had your shot. Corona gotcha.
And now you got beat this guy. Well, you can't beat this guy.
And now you got 3 to 5 fights until you get that possible matchup again.
Hella funny, bud.
I just want to remind you, Justin Gaethje lost to Dustin Poirier and the Underground King.
And Eddie Alvarez, back to back. The only two knockouts of his career, back to back.
Don't pay attention to me, though. Carry on.
I'm with you. Carry on, sir. I'm 100% rooting for Tony in this fight. I just think it's a dangerous fight for him. But he doesn't care. I know he doesn't care.
We will be finding out and screaming and making sure my entire neighborhood hates me. This Saturday, we'll be doing the watch party. It's been a pleasure. I miss you brothers dearly. I'd give you a hug.
I know, man. We
affect each other.
This is fun, but it's not the same.
It's not the same, but it's easier. Check out Deshaun's album. We'll put a link in that. I'll get this up for you guys soon. Cage Cousins, take care of yourself.
Many blessings.
Many blessings. I'm the Sweet NBA. I am joined by the Brain Damage, Iron Hook Assassin, Dream Ear himself. Without further ado, chill!
Yeah.